Previously in Passerine Chapter 2, a knock came at midnight. It dragged Wilbur from the comfort of a dreamless sleep. Wilbur, Technoblade's voice, urgent, almost angry. Wilbur, open the door. Wilbur threw off his covers and bolted for the door. Technoblade stood outside his bedchambers, his eyes blazing red in the dark. He said three words that would come to haunt Wilbur until the day he died. It's your mother. They ran through the castle, Wilbur, for the first time, outpacing his tutor. They arrived at the long hallway that led to his parents' bedchambers, already choked with servants. Move, Technoblade demanded, his voice booming over the din. Move, or I will make you. The servants rushed to the sides, clearing a path for Wilbur and Technoblade. Wilbur couldn't register any of their faces or their voices, and there was a silence. Until the worst sound Wilbur had ever heard. An anguished cry that turned Wilbur's blood cold. Tommy. Tommy's here. He burst into the room and found his brother curled into a ball by the foot of the bed where his mother laid sleeping. No. Not sleeping. Not sleeping, not sleeping, not sleeping. Wilbur couldn't breathe. Tommy was crying for their mother, for their father. Father, Wilbur's eyes scanned the room, but there was no trace of the king. No trace of the man who had just lost his wife. Tommy, Technoblade pushed past Wilbur and into the room. Wilbur could see him, could see it all, but it felt like watching someone else's life happen from leagues under the sea. Everything happening too slowly, too distantly. Technoblade kneeling by his brother, prying him off the cold floor. Tommy wrapping his arms around Technoblade's neck, burying his head into his shoulders and screaming. Screaming so loud, too loud. Technoblade turning towards Wilbur, handing him something, pressing it into Wilbur's cold fingers. Wilbur looked down at his hands. It was a letter, crumpled, tear-stained by his own tears, he realized belatedly. Techno, it said. Tell the boys I am sorry, and tell Wilbur he will be a better king than I ever was. The world fell out from under Wilbur's feet, leaving him suspended in the air, free-falling with no true end. No, he thought. Or maybe said. Or maybe screamed. No, this wasn't how it was supposed to go. Oh, the voices said. But this already happened before. Wilbur blinked, and blinked again. Father's gone, he said, not taking his eyes from the letter. He left. Wilbur, Technoblade's voice, rising above Tommy's agonized sobbing. Was that worry in the other boy's voice? I found the letter slipped under my door, and by the time I came here, it was too late. Your mother, she was also gone. The letter began to shake violently. Or, not the letter, Wilbur's hands. But she was just here. This morning, she watched us spar. She was smiling. She was alive. Technoblade, this was inevitable. Wilbur clamped his hands over his ears. Shut up. It was meant to be. Go away. Wilbur fell to his knees, pressing his hands tighter and tighter to block out the sound. I thought I had gotten rid of you. You said you were going to leave me alone. A sudden pain laced up Wilbur's arm, and he opened his eyes to find Techno kneeling in front of him, his hand in iron grip around Wilbur's wrist. Tommy was gone. When did that happen? And the silence he left behind was almost as bad as the screaming. Come back to me, Wilbur, Techno ordered. Who do you hear? You? Wilbur said haltingly. He was not for this act, not for this stage. And the voices. Technoblade nodded, easing his grip on Wilbur's wrist. I can help you. No one can. Wilbur squeezed his eyes shut, but all he could see was his mother's still form, father's letter. Wilbur, look at me. Wilbur shook his head. I can't. Then listen to me. I can help you, Technoblade repeated firmly. Because I have voices too. Wilbur's lungs began to ache with the quickness of his breath. You do? He sounded like a child seeking comfort from a distant figure, but there was too much pain to make room for shame. I do, Technoblade said. So breathe with me until they go away, and we can figure out the next step together. That was all they did. They breathed. In, out, and in again. Technoblade's hand on his wrist and the sickly sweet smell of rotting flowers kept him rooted to the ground, to the universe. In, out, and in again. And in between one breath and the next, Wilbur finally remembered where he'd heard the name Technoblade before. Father, Wilbur swallowed down a sob. He told me a story once when I was young, the first time the voices ever talked to me. He told me a story about an immortal god who was doomed to hear voices in his head forever. A blood god. Technoblade. You're a god? Don't worry about that now. His voice was distant but kind. It doesn't matter. But I don't remember how the story ended. Exhaustion was a heavy blanket weighing him down until he was leaning on Technoblade's shoulder. His throat felt raw like he'd eaten broken glass. "The story has no end," the voices said, but they sounded distant too. "Tell me how the story ends," Wilbur begged, even as he felt the last of his consciousness slowly fracture into nothingness. "Tell me you'll still be here when I close the book." "Wilbur, I..." Technoblade mumbled something too low to hear, and said, "Okay, I'll be here." Wilbur wanted to say more, or perhaps he didn't. Outside, somewhere far away, bells began to toll, chiming his mother's death ballad, heralding his ascension. "Tell the boys I'm sorry," his father's voice this time as quiet as the rest. In between one breath and the next, Wilbur was king. And in between one breath and the next, he was asleep. Chapter 3. When the cold wind rolls in from the north, what am I to do? Or, hypocrisy, happiness, and the heaviness of certain secrets. Tommy knew a thing or two about secrets. He was 5 years old when he first heard the word, whispered from father to son. "Let's keep this a secret, all right, Will?" Dad had said in the gentle hush of midnight, unaware that Tommy was right outside the library door, hanging on to every word. Even then, Tommy must have known Wilbur was special, if Dad was speaking to him like that. Not like he was an annoying child, but like they were equals, bearing the same burdens and battle scars. "But what if they never go away?" Wilbur had whispered back. Tommy had never heard his older brother so frightened. Tommy walked away before he could hear the rest of the conversation he was obviously not privy to. Looking back, perhaps some part of him wanted to preserve his gilded image of his older brother, like a dead fossil crystallized in amber. Because older brothers were never scared. Older brothers never bled. Older brothers never cowered. Older brothers were immortal. He would hold on to that belief until it was too late. He was 6 years old when he got a secret to keep of his own, and truly understood its burden. A year later, and his brother is crowned, Tommy stood proudly in the crowd as Wilbur kneeled before a man in white robes, the sunlight from the windows caught on the jewels of the crown held right above Wilbur's head. A crown that was once their father's, but no longer. Wilbur recited oaths of protection and generosity, goodness and fairness, righteous justice and unwavering fealty to the kingdom, and the robed man proclaimed him King Wilbur, protector of the realm, ruler of the kingdom. Long may he reign. Tommy had cheered the loudest, enough to shake the rafters above, and when Wilbur smiled, he knew it was just for him. 2 years later, on the cusp of his 10th birthday, Tommy asked Technoblade the same question he had been asking since they met. "Will you train me?" This time, Technoblade said yes. Time unfurled like unbound parchment, rolling off into the distance without Tommy's notice. They grew together, him and his king brother, taller and broader, stronger and smarter. More Wilbur for the latter, if Tommy were to be honest. Wilbur's duties took him from Tommy more often than not. But that was alright too, because Tommy had Techno. They would spar and talk until Techno was inevitably called back to the king's side, but by then Tommy was appeased. The days he was alone were the worst, but mostly indistinguishable in their monotonous quiet. On one of those days, he found himself drifting aimlessly through the castle. Halfway down a vaguely familiar hallway, he heard something that had been sorely missed since his mother's death. Music. He followed the sound to a door that was slightly ajar. Tommy held his breath as he looked through the crack, and then lost his breath altogether when he found the source of the mournful melody. Wilbur, tiredness etched into the slope of his shoulders and the skin under his eyes, strumming his guitar, cursing as he missed a note or two, but still continuing, still playing, still soldiering on. And with him was Technoblade, on a sweetly keen violin, his scarred hands moving over the strings, his bow arm moving fluidly through the air. Both of them had their eyes closed, so completely lost in their own music, and Tommy knew, deep in his gut, that this was a world he could never breach. And so he closed the door, and retreated to his silence. At 15 years old, Tommy was the oldest he'd ever been. but he'd never felt so young. Wilbur's official chambers were not meant for those outside of his council, but Tommy had never been one for rules. The guards outside the carved double doors, truly pretentious, in Tommy's correct opinion, merely sighed at the sight of Tommy coming down the hallway and shuffled to the side to let him pass. "His Majesty has a lot of paperwork to do," the guard said, trying and failing to be stern. "If so, then His Majesty will certainly welcome my esteemed company," Tommy replied, giving the guard a grin and a salute as he pushed his way into the king's office. Beyond the door was a large, sparsely decorated room. There used to be paintings on the wall of past kings, their forefathers with gold hair and brilliant blue eyes. But the first thing Wilbur had done as king was take them all down. Tommy remembered sitting on the floor of the office, staring up as Wilbur climbed a ladder, rolled his sleeves up to his elbow, and began ripping the paintings from their hooks. There had been such violence in his movements, as if the task were the very bane of his existence. Once it was done, Wilbur stood in the center of his devastation, taking in the bare walls, and nodded to himself, pleased. Tommy still didn't know if Wilbur ever noticed he was there. The only paintings on the wall now were the landscapes Mama used to make. Tommy's favorite was the one of a mountain range shrouded in blue mist, because he could see in the corner where Mama had given him the brush for a few seconds. Three errant brushstrokes in an otherwise perfect painting that stood out as a reminder that, once upon a time, Tommy had existed in the same universe as his mother. Bookshelves stood against one wall, with the other two set with floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the gardens outside. At the center of things was a desk and a king. Wilbur sat scribbling away at a roll of parchment, his crown lay discarded behind his inkpot and a cup of cold tea. "What are you doing?" Tommy asked, closing the door behind him. Wilbur didn't reply. He gave no indication of even hearing him. Tommy rolled his eyes and produced two apples from his pocket. He made his way over to the desk, moved over a stack of heavy, important-looking books, and hauled himself into a sitting position, his legs dangling over the edge. "You've been here all day, you know," Tommy said idly, balancing one of the apples on the tip of his finger. "Missed breakfast and lunch." Wilbur only grunted in response. "Kingdom's on fire," Tommy continued. "Rioting in the streets. The guards are staging a coup. Techno's leading them." "Sure, Tommy," Wilbur said noncommittally, reaching to dip his quill into the inkpot. Tommy casually moved the inkpot out of his reach. Wilbur glared up at him, finally acknowledging him, albeit with annoyance. "What do you want, Tommy?" Wilbur asked, irritable. Tommy took one of the apples and planted it squarely in front of his brother. "Starvation's a pretty shit way to go," Tommy said. "Find a less dumb way to die." Wilbur stared down at the fruit as if he had never seen one before. "I'm not hungry," he said, at the exact moment his stomach started to growl. Tommy snorted. "How embarrassing for you." "Shut up." But Wilbur was putting down his quill and reaching for the apple. Tommy bit into his own to hide his self-satisfied smile. Tommy leaned over to catch a glimpse at what Wilbur was writing. His brother's familiar looping script had already covered most of the page with words like intentions and fortifications and conscription. "Conscription," Tommy repeated around a mouthful of apple. "What does that mean?" "Swallow before speaking," Wilbur said mildly. "Swallow before speaking," Tommy mocked. "You sound like our old governess, so grouchy, ach." He inhaled too quickly. Unchewed apple slid suddenly down his throat and lodged there. Tommy gasped for air, reaching blindly for something to drink. Wilbur hastily placed his teacup into Tommy's hand and he drank it down with gusto until his airways were clear once more. When he looked at his brother through a blur of tears, Wilbur was desperately pursing his lips in a valiant attempt to keep his laughter down. "You're an ass," Tommy wheezed. "And your tea is garbage." Wilbur swiped a thumb across his own mouth to wipe a smile away. "Techno made that tea." "Oh." Tommy looked down at the tiny teacup with curiosity. He could not imagine his hardened tutor patiently brewing tea for anyone, even Wilbur. "It's all right, then." "Gods, Tommy." Wilbur placed his elbow on the desk and rested his cheek against the heel of his hand. The look he gave Tommy was one of utmost affection, despite the obvious exhaustion etched into every inch of his face. "Will you ever grow out of your hero worship of him?" Tommy took another, considerably smaller bite of his apple. He chewed on the sweet pulp, thinking all the while of the pink-haired tutor that had taught him and Wilbur everything they knew of survival, and not just through fighting. Techno could have left. He should have left. After those long nights of Tommy waking up crying, Wilbur's dark moods, days where the both of them felt so frayed that unraveling each other felt like the only way to fix it, a frustration and anger with no other way out than screaming. But he stayed. He stayed to watch Wilbur be crowned, stayed to be his most trusted advisor, stayed, and kept him together when everyone else expected the boy king to fall apart under the pressure. He stayed, and marked Tommy's height on one of the statues in the training pavilion, despite his insistence that Tommy had not grown an inch. He stayed even after Wilbur forced him to attend balls and galas, and endured each one of Tommy's jibes about the pompous suits he was made to wear. How on earth could Tommy grow out of worshipping someone like that? Tommy swallowed, shrugged. Maybe if you were awesome, I'd hero worship you too. Wilbur scoffed. I am awesome. Wilbur, if you have to say I'm awesome to prove you're awesome, you're not awesome. Do you remember, Wilbur said suddenly, straightening in his seat and staring at the blood-red fruit in his hand, when we used to pick these with Mother? And Dad, Tommy almost added before catching himself. Yeah, we'd go down to the orchard with big wicker baskets, Tommy remembered. You used to lift me up on your shoulders so I could get the ones off the higher branches. A wistful smile tugged on Wilbur's lips. I probably can't lift you now. I'm not that heavy. Wilbur shook his head. It's not a matter of whether I could, it's a matter of whether you would let me. Tommy opened his mouth to retort, then quickly shut it when he realized it was true. He probably wouldn't appreciate being on Wilbur's shoulders, nor would he even need to. He'd hit his growth spurt somewhere in the last year, incensing Techno greatly when it was clear Tommy would be taller than him if he kept up the pace. That meant he would soon be taller than Wilbur, too. We could just try shooting apples down with arrows, Tommy offered gently. I'll try not to shoot your eye out this time, Wilbur replied with a laugh. I don't remember much about her, Tommy admitted as he rolled his apple between his palms, as if that could somehow make her distant laughter clearer in his head. But I remember how much she loved apple-picking days. We could be there until midnight if she got her way. She used to gather apple blossoms and toss them at us just to make us laugh whenever we complained we were getting bored. No, Wilbur said quietly. That was Father. Tommy wanted to kick himself. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess I told you I don't really remember. It's all right, Tommy. There's no need to apologize. Wilbur tossed his apple high in the air and caught it gracefully with one hand. He abandoned you too. They polished off the rest of their apples in silence, neither of them saying a word about the phantoms that had been hanging over them for nearly a decade. It seemed to Tommy that people were haunted by two types of ghosts. The ghosts of those who died, and those who left. It was just his luck that he had both. When they were both done, Wilbur silently wrapped the cores in an extra sheet of parchment and placed it on the edge of his table for later disposal. As he did, Tommy's attention was drawn back to the letter Wilbur had been working on when he entered. "You didn't answer my question," Tommy said, idly kicking his heels against Wilbur's desk. "What does conscription mean?" Wilbur sighed as he took up his quill again. "You don't need to know, Tommy." Tommy bristled at the careless dismissal. "I'm the prince of this kingdom, Wilbur. I deserve to know." Wilbur quirked an eyebrow at him. "Oh, suddenly you're interested in the affairs of the realm?" "I've always been interested." "What's our highest earning exported product, then?" Tommy scanned the table. "Apples? Tea? Parchment?" Wilbur rolled his eyes. "You are a ridiculous child," he began, scribbling away through the letter once more. "I'm not a child," Tommy murmured. "You are. Look at yourself. You're supposed to be a prince, and yet you spend your days play fighting with Techno, or annoying the guards, or annoying me. What part of your behavior isn't childlike?" Wilbur's quill stopped in the middle of a sentence as his words settled over them. Tommy felt heat rise to his cheeks and hurriedly got to his feet before Wilbur could see. His gut churned at the insult, and the lingering taste of apple on his tongue turned rancid and bitter. "Tommy," Wilbur called, but Tommy was already making his way towards the door. "Tommy, wait! You're not the fucking boss of me," Tommy spat without turning, lacing his words with venomous anger. "I actually am, but that's besides the point." Tommy heard Wilbur's seat scrape against the floor, but no footsteps running after him. "Tommy, gods, you're proving my point if you walk out that door." "I don't care. Screw you, Wilbur. Screw you." Tommy threw the doors open, startling the guard outside. He marched past the threshold, slapping at his cheeks as if that might somehow dissipate the shame gathering there. He shouldn't be this angry. All three of them, Techno, Wilbur, and Tommy himself, had said worse things in the past to and about each other, but seldom did it ever sting like this. Perhaps because it came in the wake of their father's memory being conjured up between them. Perhaps because it had been the first proper conversation in a week. Perhaps because Wilbur was right. Wilbur was always right. The door slammed shut behind him, echoing through the empty hallway. "Come on," Tommy prayed. run after me. But the door stayed closed, and that was answer enough. Tommy found Techno in the training pavilion, practicing his lunges with the silver trident Wilbur had gifted him a few years back. Technoblade took one look at the expression on Tommy's face and tossed him a spear that had been leaning against one of the statues. Wordlessly, they took their positions in the middle of the pavilion, sizing each other up for a moment before jumping into action. After 6 years under Techno's tutelage, Tommy could hold his own against knights twice his size and age. He'd even beaten Wilbur once, though the older sibling profusely maintained that he went easy on Tommy. But he had never beaten Techno. Tommy was sure even Wilbur, who'd been training with Techno for longer, had never won against their tutor. In a truly bleak moment when he was 13, Tommy eventually realized that the man they were fighting against might not even be using his full strength. But that didn't matter right now. This wasn't about winning this time. Tommy rushed Techno with a visceral scream, a sound that came from deep within his chest. Techno deflected him easily enough, but Tommy continued the onslaught, dealing blow after teeth-shattering blow. He kept screaming through it all, screaming nonsensically, screaming at his brother, at his dad, at his kingdom, the gods themselves. He felt as if his throat might tear itself apart. Tommy managed to push Techno back against one of the statues, the one that bore the mark of Tommy's height over the years. Techno grunted as Tommy shoved the butt of his spear against Techno's chest, and then retaliated by catching its shaft in the prong of his trident. With a single jerk of his arm, Techno ripped the spear out of Tommy's hands. He clattered to the floor somewhere behind Tommy, but that didn't stop him. He balled up his fists and hit indiscriminately at Techno, his knuckles finding an arm, rib, a collarbone, and Techno merely stood there, taking all of it. He let Tommy burn his anger away into exhaustion without a word of protest. When Tommy collapsed to the ground, a heaving, sweaty mess, Techno silently placed his own weapon to the side and laid down beside him. They spent nearly an hour like that, staring up at the roof, listening to Tommy's harsh breathing slowly wind down. Neither of them spoke. Neither of them needed to. Silence was a language in and of itself, and Techno was the most fluent in it, and so he was the one who knew just how to break it. "So let me guess," Techno drawled. "You and Wilbur had a fight again." Tommy exhaled through his nose. "Called me an annoying child," he muttered. "He does that every day, Tommy." "I know. It was different this time, though." He might have actually meant it. "Ah," there was a rustle of fabric as Techno crossed his arms under his head. "Well, Wilbur's not having a very fun week, so I'd take anything he says with a grain of salt." "I wouldn't know that," Tommy grumbled. "Neither of you tell me anything." "You never expressed a desire to be told." "I'd appreciate being told regardless." "Noted, then." Another moment of silence stretched before Tommy whispered, "He didn't even run after me. He would have, before." Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Techno shift so he was looking down at him, arm braced against the floor. When Techno spoke again, his voice was patient. "Before what? Before he was king?" Tommy sighed. It felt like his lungs had come loose in all the chaos. Everything in his chest was all too tight, all too sore. He closed his eyes against the pain, seeing his brother in the darkness. Brown curls falling over his eyes as he bent over his guitar, smiling at his own music. Tommy would give anything to hear Wilbur play like that again. "No," Tommy began, rethinking his words, even as he began saying them. "Being king has nothing to do with it. I guess I mean it was different before he started choosing being king over my big brother." "Oh, Tommy." The sadness in Techno's voice made Tommy's eyes snap open. "You think he has a choice?" Tommy rolled over to finally look Techno in the eye. Not much had changed with Techno over the years. He still kept his hair long and occasionally let Tommy braid it. His hands remained as scarred as ever, with some fresh new ones now and again from adventures he told no one about. And he still wore shirts with too many ruffles for Tommy's taste. But he no longer had the emerald earring he used to wear when they were younger. Tommy couldn't remember the last time he saw Techno with it. In its place was the sapphire Tommy had given him 2 years ago, mostly as a joke. And he'd only admit he was pleased to see Techno wearing it under the threat of death. Techno's expression was shuttered, in that way of whenever uncomfortable topics came up. His past, state secrets. "Dad. Something's really happening," Tommy said, watching Techno's face carefully. "Something bad." Techno's face remained unchanged, save for the telltale quirk at the corner of his mouth that signaled his anger. Tommy had only seen Techno truly angry a handful of times. I was not eager to add this to the list. "Things are a bit fragile right now," Techno said. But I'm trying. I really am, and I need you to know that, Tommy. I do, Tommy said resolutely. I trust you. Because while Techno had stayed when Tommy and Wilbur were at their worst, they'd repaid him in kind. A few years into Wilbur's reign, Techno had taken to studying up on statesmanship and politics and etiquette, as if his life depended on it. It was the only aspect he was lacking in, he said, and he needed to cover for Wilbur when push came to shove on the debate floor. And while Tommy and Wilbur couldn't understand his sudden zeal, they still knew that their tutor needed rest as much as any other human being, so they developed their own systems of getting Techno to eat and drink, and often had to physically pry him away from the library. Techno eventually relented to calming down after he knocked Wilbur to the ground in one of their struggles to get him to bed, and when he sometimes disappeared in the middle of the night, or off to God knows where for days on end, they'd simply welcome him back when he was ready, no questions asked. Partly because the look on Techno's face after his little escapades implied that whoever asked would be thrown over a balcony. If things are so bad, why are you here then? Tommy asked. Shouldn't you be at the king's side, sir right-hand man? Techno wrinkled his nose in response. Oh, laughter bubbled out of Tommy, unbidden but welcome. I see, he kicked you out too, didn't he? I suggested a solution that would end all of our problems very easily. Wilbur vetoed it adamantly. Tommy grinned, so you're throwing a tantrum. Techno scoffed. I am not you, Tommy. He paused. But I suppose, under the dictionary definition of a tantrum, I am currently in the middle of one. Tommy began to laugh, that sort of laugh that ended in hiccups and wheezing. Techno watched him with a faint smile, and the two of them basked in the simplicity of it. Just two boys on the floor on a hot summer day, laughter bouncing off their skin like sunlight. We'll be okay, Techno, Tommy assured him once he settled down. I mean, it's you and Wilbur. You'll figure it out like you always do. Techno stared at Tommy for a moment before quickly looking away. That's enough saccharine garbage for one day, I think. Get up so I can beat you to the ground again. What does saccharine mean? It means you need to brush up on your vocabulary, Tommy. Techno got to his feet and offered Tommy a hand. Tommy grinned as Techno pulled him up, and though his palm was scarred, it was warm. Tommy rolled his shoulders back until he heard the satisfying pop of his bones righting themselves. He and Techno had sparred until the sun went down, at which point a messenger had arrived to inform Techno that King Wilbur had said uncle and was crying for help. Not in those words, but close enough in interpretation. Go, Tommy had encouraged when Techno had hesitated on the steps leading down from the training pavilion. At least one of us is welcome back into His Majesty's good graces. He should be looking for a way back into yours, Techno had replied, and was gone. Tommy had spent the rest of the evening stabbing at a training dummy with his spear until another servant arrived to call him to dinner, which, unsurprisingly, he ate alone in an empty dining room. Afterwards, he made up his mind to swallow his pride and found his way back to Wilbur's office. The guard standing post outside was gone, which meant Techno was still inside. After all, who needs guards with Technoblade there? As Tommy drew nearer, voices had begun to filter in through the door, muffled but it getting clearer as he approached. Quiet today, someone was saying. But that hardly means anything. I think they know something I don't, Techno. Tommy held his breath as he pressed his ear against the door. Did you do the breathing exercises I taught you? Techno's soft drawl. Did I? Of course I did. I did everything you said. I always do, Wilbur's fraught murmur. Then why won't you let me do this for you? Do what? Tommy had leaned in, as close as he dared. Because it won't help, Wilbur had said. It sounded as if this was an argument they'd had a million times before. We don't know why they're gathering at the border yet. We've studied history. You know nothing good ever comes from that sort of maneuver, Wilbur. Meanwhile, the longer we wait, the less prepared we'll be when they... If they do, Wilbur interrupted. We're not entirely unprepared. I've sent the conscription notices. There was a loaded pause. You did? Tommy didn't know if Techno sounded more impressed or indignant. When? This afternoon, after my little brother looked me in the eyes and I realized just how much I have to lose. At that point, Tommy had backed hastily from the door as if it burnt him. He turned on his heels and ran, his head spinning and his heart hammering, unsure whether to laugh or to cry. Something bad was really happening. Something that made Wilbur think he was going to lose everything. Tommy didn't pay much attention to his history tutors. They were never as amazing as Technoblade was. But he did know that his family had maintained peace in the kingdom for decades, and that talks about borders were never joyful affairs. Now, in the silence of his bedroom, he paced, working out the kinks in his body and trying to ignore the gnawing feeling that he was on the brink of something too large to comprehend. But there was one thing he knew for certain. None of this would be happening if Father had stayed. Techno did, even when they'd only known him for a few months. What had stopped him from doing the same? And then there was the guilt of knowing exactly what would have made him stay, what he could have done. Secrets. What terrible, heavy things. Tommy was still wearing a path through his rug when the knock came, startling out of his own thoughts. "Yes?" he called, suddenly getting the urge to reach for one of his decorative swords hanging from the wall. "It's me." "Wilbur," Tommy relaxed. And then jolting back, "Wilbur?" Tommy opened his door slowly, unsure of who was waiting on the other side. The king? Or his brother? But standing at the threshold, his shoulders slumped and his smile tired, was just Wilbur. "Hello," Wilbur said. "Can I come in?" Tommy rolled his eyes. "Techno told you to come, didn't he?" The smile slipped from Wilbur's face. "Does it matter?" he asked exhaustedly. "Suppose not." Tommy stood back and let Wilbur inside. Wilbur crept in like a tourist, looking at every inch of Tommy's room like every little thing was a priceless artifact. When had Tommy last allowed his brother into his bedroom? Most likely around the same time Wilbur moved his things into the king's quarters. "I like this," Wilbur said idly, pointing at an ancient morning star hanging next to the door. "Really ties the room together, I think." "Cut the crap, Wilbur," Tommy snapped, the morning's vehemence returning like bitter waves to the shore. "Just tell me why you're here." Wilbur sighed as he threw himself onto one of the spare settees. "We need to talk, Tommy." "All right." Tommy leaned against the wall and crossed his arms, watching Wilbur suspiciously. "Talk then." Wilbur crossed his legs and returned Tommy's scrutiny tenfold. His dark eyes seemed to be made for the very purpose of staring people down. "First of all, I would like to apologize for what I said earlier. You are never an annoyance to me, Tommy, but you are a child." "Wilbur!" Wilbur held a hand up to silence him. "Let me finish," he said, wielding not the authority of a liege, but of a firstborn sibling. "You are a child. That isn't a bad thing. You're allowed to be what you are, and you're young. That's also the reason I thought it was best to keep things from you. But in my efforts to protect you, I drove you away, and that's the last thing I want. And you're right, speaking with Techno did help me come to that conclusion. But we all need Techno's help now and again, don't we?" Tommy scoffed. He knew he couldn't disagree. Wilbur knew it too. "I don't need to be protected," Tommy said weakly. "Then why do you always look so sad?" Tommy locked eyes with Wilbur. "What?" There was a world's worth of pain in Wilbur's expression. "Whenever you think no one's watching, you look so sad, Tommy. But I see you. You joke and laugh and shout all day, but the moment you're alone, you get this look on your face. Like you're carrying some heavy weight and you're trying to find somewhere to set it down, but there's nowhere. I've seen that look before, Tommy, and that's why I'm scared for you. Because Father..." "Don't," Tommy croaked. "Don't compare me to him, Wilbur. I'm nothing like him." "Prove it then." Wilbur suddenly stood, making Tommy jerk back against the wall. "Do what he never had the guts to do and tell me. Tell me what's wrong, Tommy. Tell me what you're carrying and I'll help you." Tommy's chest felt tight with the pressure of a decades-old secret. His eyes instinctively scanned the room for an exit, some way out, some way to never speak of this again. He wanted nothing more than to melt into the wallpaper behind him and never see the light of day again. Wilbur's expression softened Tommy's panic, and he slowly sat back down onto the settee. "I'm sorry," he said gently. "I didn't mean to..." He pinched the bridge of his nose and let out a long sigh. "I'm so shit at this. Okay, here. To prove to you that I can handle your secret, I'll tell you mine." Tommy's brows furrowed. "You have a million secrets, Wilbur. Maybe even more than that." "I know, but this is the secret, Tommy." And there it was again, the feeling that he was standing on the precipice of a dark, unfathomable chasm. Wilbur said, "I hear voices." He tapped his temple, right here. "Voices that aren't mine, or anyone else's, as far as I know. We're still trying to figure that out." "We?" Tommy breathed. "Techno and I." "Ah, of course." Tommy leaned slightly forward, confusion and fear warring in his gut. "What do these voices say?" "Sometimes they're cryptic, vague, talking about fate and strings. Sometimes they just taunt me. And sometimes it's worse." Cooper took a shuddering breath. So much worse. And right now? Tommy asked, not sure if he wanted to know the answer. Right now, Wilbur said quietly, they're telling me to kill you. Tommy's breath caught in his throat. He was suddenly very aware of how many weapons, decorative or otherwise, he had on his walls. Wilbur, you can't. I'm not going to do it, Tommy, Wilbur said, sounding hurt that Tommy might ever think the opposite. I would never hurt you, but the voices, they're saying it's inevitable, that it's your destiny to die by my hand. But this is a story that has been told many times over, and we can't change how it ends. And how does it end? Badly, Wilbur whispered. His tone made it clear that whatever it was, Tommy was not prepared to hear it. Well, you don't actually know what the voices are saying are real, right? Maybe it's all nonsense and it won't actually happen. But it already has, Wilbur swallowed, and both he and Tommy steeled themselves for what he was about to say. 2 months ago, the voices told me something was coming, that an army was gathering at our northern borders. But we don't have enemies. That's what I thought too. But I sent some spies to investigate, just in case, and they confirmed it. Wilbur steepled his fingers, his eyes as hard and dark as polished iron. Just like the voices say, a war might be coming, Tommy. What was it the Techno had said? Wilbur's not having a very fun week. Tommy might laugh at how huge of an understatement that was, if he wasn't too busy choking on his own tongue. War. Such a small word for such a big thing. Well, Tommy slid to the floor as his legs gave out. That's that, then. Techno and I are trying to make contact with the foreign army's generals, Wilbur said, and Tommy noticed for the first time how many silver hairs Wilbur had acquired, almost glowing in the moonlight streaming from the windows. We're doing everything we can to stop it from happening, Tommy, but yes, that's it. Those are my biggest secrets. The rest are inconsequential. He took a deep breath as if to steady himself. I think it's your turn, Tommy. Tommy laughed bitterly. After that reveal, anything I say will just sound stupid. It won't, Wilbur said resolutely. He leaned back on the settee, giving Tommy a gentle look. Whenever you're ready, Tommy, I'm right here. Tommy drew his legs towards himself and wrapped his arms around his knees, clinging on for dear life. This was too much too fast. He wanted to yell. He wanted to crack his fists open on the marble statues with Techno's little markings. He wanted to pinch himself and wake up yesterday, when there was nothing wrong except for the gnawing pain in his chest that had never gone away, even 9 years later. He wanted his parents. The world had gone dark suddenly, and in the shadows, Tommy finally let go. You want my secret, Wilbur? He pressed his face against his knees as if it might hide his shame from the world. I saw him. There it was. The truth. Or a confession. Or both. That night, I saw him. He heard Wilbur suck in a breath. There was no need to elaborate. Between the two of them, there was only ever one he. And only ever one night. He kissed my hair, and that's what woke me. I saw him walk away from my bed towards my window. I saw him open it, and I saw him climb out, or jump out. I want to say that he flew out, like a bird, but I don't remember that part very well. What I do remember is just lying there, fully awake, knowing something was really fucking wrong. But I just laid there. Tommy's eyes began to sting, so he closed them shut before the first of his pathetic tears could fall. Eventually, I climbed out of bed, and I went to their room, wanting to believe that I'd just dreamt it all. And that's when I found Mama. He could still see it, in his mind's eye. He remembered so little of her, but what could never be forgotten was how he'd crawled up on the bed next to her, trying to wake her. He could never forget his confusion when she refused to, nor the blinding pain when he realized why. And most days, Wilbur, that's all I think about. How I was awake and could have stopped him. And I could have made him stay, and you wouldn't need to be king so young. I could have spared you from all this, Wilbur, and now everything's gone to shit, and it's all my... A sob tore free from his lips, sudden and unrelenting. I want to help you, but I don't know how. Nobody ever taught me how. Tommy, Wilbur's voice sounded so far away. The worst thing, Tommy continued, trying to ignore the ever-tightening noose around his neck, is that maybe I should have seen it coming. He used to come by your door in the middle of the night, when you used to live across the hall. I kept my door open, just a crack, after the first time it happened, just to see if he would come again. And he did. So many times. I used to think he would eventually knock, but he never did. Tommy tightened his hold on himself, shaking with grief. And maybe with relief, too. I think he was saying goodbye long before he left, Wilbur. For a moment, the only response to his words were silence. Tommy was afraid to look up to see if Wilbur had left, angry and betrayed. But instead, Tommy felt warm arms encircle him and pull him towards something safe and solid. "Tommy," Wilbur whispered into Tommy's hair. "You were six." And that was it. That was what finally broke Tommy in the end. He crashed against his brother, wrapping his arms around Wilbur's torso and burying his face in his chest. The tears finally came, a culmination of 9 years worth of guilt and paranoia, of stumbling through life unsure of where he stood with his brother, of fearing that one day Wilbur might find out what he failed to do and hate him forever. But this wasn't hate, this was the opposite. "Shh," Wilbur ran a hand through Tommy's hair. "It's all right, Tommy. Let it all out." It was just two of them in that moment. There were no voices, no ghosts, no secrets. Just Wilbur and Tommy. Tommy and Wilbur. Eventually, Tommy's sobbing ebbed. His cheeks were wet and cold from his tears, but he could breathe easier than ever before. He drew back from the circle of Wilbur's arms and found his brother looking up at him with a gentleness that he could never deserve in 1,000 years. "See," Wilbur said, delicately brushing stray tears from Tommy's cheeks. "Isn't it lighter with someone else to carry it with?" Tommy sniffled. "You always have to be right, don't you?" "Well, of course. Otherwise I'd be stripped of my title as Grand Master of Pretentiousness. The council would have a field day." Tommy laughed wetly. "What will your voices say after you suffer disgrace?" "Funnily enough," Wilbur said softly, "they're very quiet right now." "So, what happens now?" Tommy whispered into the dark. "I don't know," Wilbur confessed. "But what I do know is that there should be no more secrets between brothers. Agreed?" "Agreed," Tommy smiled. "No more secrets." Wilbur looked as if he wanted to say something else, but Tommy would never have the chance to find out what, because at that same moment, Techno burst through the door, his expression like hellfire. Wilbur was on his feet in an instant, reaching for a crumpled note Techno was holding out to him. Tommy watched his brother's face drain of all color as his eyes scanned through the message. "What?" Tommy demanded, his heartbeat ringing in his ears. "What does it say?" When Wilbur looked back at him, his eyes were bleak and haunted. "You wanted to know what conscriptions were for, Tommy?" "Well, you're about to find out,"